Welcome back. It is the 5x5 Late Night Podcast. My name is David, and I'm glad you guys could join me whenever, wherever, however you're checking out the show. I do appreciate each and every one of you. Happy Valentine's Week. Soon to be Valentine's Day. And happy Black History Month. Can you imagine? And I can't even imagine. Can you believe that I forget it was Black History Month? And I'm like, I see something today. I'm like, wait a minute. This is African Heritage Month. Not that I totally forgot, because the older I've gotten, I think, not that it's not important, like Prince was saying the other night on the Grammys, Black Lives do matter, but I just don't want to focus on my ethnicity or my heritage 1 month out of the week, and then I'm forgotten about for the rest of the year. So, not that Black History Month is not important, because it does let people who don't know a lot about Black history or some of the struggles that we've been through. It kind of tips his hat to let us shine. But then you have the haters out there that say, well, there's not a White History Month. Well, that's because y'all got all 12 months, real talk. Or there's not American History Month. I mean, not American, Mexican, Latino, excuse me, History Month. You know, come on. I can't speak to that, because I didn't create Black History Month. Somebody else did that. But the thing is, I do like that song, the Black National Anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing. And I try to find it tonight. So maybe I'll have it before the month is out. But anyhow, like I said, happy Valentine's Week and happy Black History Month if you happen to be black. I hope you guys are doing okay. I am. I'm doing okay. I think something is going on, because, you know, you guys know that I work so much. This beginning of the week hasn't been too bad. And like today, I had a meeting, this afternoon, around 1 o'clock, and I was going to go back to the office and get some things finished. And then I got in my car and I had to send some, emails out. So I got in my car and I was like, well, let me head back to the office, because I had to get this done. And then I just suddenly said to myself, no, I'm going home. I'm going home. And I just couldn't force myself to go back in and do anything. Although I wanted to be productive, and I just couldn't do it, because I spend so much time. And I know you guys, this is like me beating a dead horse. I know you guys hear this every week, but I'm tired, and I didn't sign up to work this much. I know last week I was saying, I was talking about the little saying, working to live, not living to work. And I think I messed it up, the little quote, wherever it is, last week. You know, you're supposed to work to live, not live to work. And so I'm trying to find my balance. I'm always trying to find balance. When do you find balance? Is that even possible? Is that just a dream? That it sounds good. Well, I'm finding my balance. And I have people that I know, they at least on the outside, they look like they are completely in control of everything that's in their lives. But, you know, sometimes you don't know what goes on behind closed doors. They might be a freaking lunatic, a basket case when they go in the house for the evening. But I want to get as close to having a balance in my life that I can. You know, I don't think it's a perfect scenario for anyone, but I really have to get this work thing under control, because right now it's pretty much, it's controlling me, and I don't like the way it makes me feel. I feel like that my life is being invaded by my job, and I don't like that. And I know I told you guys that earlier, you know, a few podcasts ago, but I'll try not to talk too much about work tonight because it's definitely something that's, you know, a part of my life. And I try to share a little bit of my life with you guys here. And I don't know. Excuse me. Oh, and there's old Tristan. He said he's batshit crazy. Sometimes at the end of the day, I'm a little crazy because with everything, like a lot of them, like today, my day started at 7. I was up at 7, had to be at work, had a meeting at 9, went back to the office at 10, then had to be at a meeting at 1. And then I was like, I'm done. And there's so many things that's going on. Just, it doesn't really matter. But tomorrow should be an easy day. I'm crossing my fingers. Cause I really have nothing, on my schedule for tomorrow, but one teeny, teeny, tiny, tiny meeting. And I'm going to get some office work done hopefully. And then, I should be free because I think Thursday is going to be a bad day for me. And, this weekend's going to be bad. But other than that, I do. And thing is, this is the one thing about, I said this before too, the one thing about working so much, my eating, not that I ate perfectly before, but my eating habits are absolutely horrible now. Not that it was good before, but it's crazy. And I wanted to eat, my mom had called and she said that she had made, made some homemade chicken noodle soup, you know, and instead of getting that, I went and bought a pizza, but it was gross. It was really nasty from Pizza Hut. And what pissed me off, I did go drop something off for work tonight. And then I'm like, well, I got to pull into Walgreens. And I'll tell you about my whole Walgreens debacle later to check something out. And I said, well, I'll order me a pizza. And by the time I get down to where Pizza Hut is, I'll be able to pick it up and go home. So I got the time, 7:41. So I asked a young lady, I said, you know, I just want a little medium pizza. This is what I want. How long will it take? She's like, 15 minutes. So it's 8:41. So I'm like, okay, I'll be down there at around 8 o'clock. And so I'm driving, I get down there and it's like 8:01. And so she takes my money and pays. She's like, oh, it's just coming out of the oven. It'll be 5 minutes. Okay, cool, no sweat. So I'm sitting down and perusing through all you guys on Facebook. You know, like I said earlier tonight, sometimes you just need to put Facebook down and call it a damn night, because Facebook will either depress you, piss you off, make you sad, or make you feel like you ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you need to, I think there should be like a support group for how Facebook affects you emotionally, because it at times it can take you there. But the funny thing is, if it's funny, I'm doing that. I'm going through the little Facebook thing and I'm waiting. Then I'm like, okay, she never come back out here. So I'm just sitting. Then I hear all this commotion going on in the kitchen. They're laughing, they're talking, because at this particular one, it's like, it's not like a restaurant. It's just like something you would see like at a mall, just a storefront, and there's a counter and there's a few seats. And then there's the, where they take the register, and then the back where you can't see it all is where the kitchen is. And so I'm just hearing them doing all this kind of caterwauling, and yes, I did say caterwauling, and they're talking, you know, and stuff. And I'm like, what is really going on back there? And I hear they're, you know, sometimes, and that's what I tell people when I used to work in retail when I was manager. I tell them, like, sometimes you had to watch your conversation, even if you say you're in the stock room, you know, and there's a door open and you're having an inappropriate conversation, people can hear that if they're walking past the door. So you have to be careful or mindful of what you say. And so I was hearing things I probably shouldn't hear, but I didn't care, you know. That wasn't the point. I wanted my pieces so I could take my black ass home. And so it gets to be like 8:25. And so I get up. Still, nobody, you know, because she had already taken my money, so nobody came to check to see if I was still waiting. So I see a pizza in the warmer. So I'm assuming it's mine. And so I cough, And so this lady comes up. When this lady took my money, she comes up. She's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't hear you come in." I said, "That's because I didn't. I've been waiting for 20 minutes." She said, "Oh, well, the pizza takes about 15 minutes to cook." I'm like, "I ordered my pizza at 7:41. Oh. And so when she walks away, I can hear you. And she says, he's not pleasant or something, or he's not happy to deal with something about me being happy or pleasant. And I'm like, oh no, this bitch didn't, you know, that's in my mind, but I'm tired. I'm not trying to argue with you. Just give me my pizza so I can leave. But then that little voice in me tells me, oh no, she didn't. No, you have to say something. And so she comes out and she's like, "Oh, well, I'm terribly sorry. Here's your pizza." I said, and I'm still trying to be nice. I'm like, "Hey, so you're telling me I've waited at least 20 additional minutes while you guys were back there talking and having a good time while my pizza's in the warmer?" She's like, "Well, I didn't know you was up here." I'm like, "That doesn't matter. The young lady who took my money told me 5 minutes. So you would think she would come back once the pizza was..." Well, she's not the one that put the pizza in the warmer. I'm like, "That doesn't make sense to me." You know, and I'm trying to get her to say... I said, "Does that make sense to you?" And then she finally can see. She's like, "Oh, no, it really doesn't." "Oh, well, I'm terribly sorry. Here's your pizza." I'm like, "Girl, what is your boss's name?" And then I love... Because I used to use this too. "What's your man? Who's the manager?" You know, and she's like, "I'm the manager." I'm like, "Yeah, no, not you. Who's your boss?" Then she gave me some name and some phone number. I'm not going to call because it's not that. I just won't go back, you know, because it was gross anyhow. But it's just, that's the whole idea of dealing with all that. You shouldn't have to deal with that. But anyhow, that was my day. That's how I ended. And didn't watch any TV. I was gone. I didn't get to watch Flash tonight. But so you can always watch it at 12 o'clock on Hulu. So hopefully we'll be done early tonight. But like I said, I hope you guys are doing good tonight. We are... talking about a few things, so I'm not going to keep you guys very long this evening. And you know, I don't know if my Facebook is not working correctly, and I need to stop because then my mic will go off because, you know, everything's not working as good on my new computer as I would like. But we are working through it. Let's see here. Maybe I can use my tablet and I can get the stuff to come up easier, because right now as just things are not just working the way I wanted to. But tonight we're going to be talking about, like I said, Black History Month. But as part of Black History Month, you know, I'm a fanboy. I'm not a big fan of the Peanuts comic strip, you know, by Charles Schulz. But I've read an interesting article about the only black Peanut, Franklin, or the very first black Peanuts character, Franklin. I'm going to share that with you guys. Also, if you guys watch Sunday's Grammys and all the drama that surrounded some of the winners, we're going to talk about that tonight. And then Valentine's Day. Why sometimes do we not have a Valentine? Sometimes it's because of us, you know, and a lot of times in the gay community, we have so many, lists and checks that we want in a partner. We let perfectly good people pass us simply because of the color of their skin. So we'll talk a little bit about interracial dating, and then maybe a little bit more. Thank you guys for listening. My name is David. It's the 5x5 Late Night Show. We'll be right back.
While he was scheming, I was beaming in the beamer, just beaming. Can't believe that I caught my man cheating. So I found another way to make him pay for it all. So I went to Neiman Marcus on a shopping spree, and on the way I grabbed Sole and Mia. And as the cash box rang, I thought everything away. There goes the dreams we used to say. There goes the times we spent away. There goes the love I had, but you cheated on me, and that's for that now. There goes the house we made a home. There goes you'll never leave me alone. For all the lies you told, this is what you own.
Hey, ladies, when your man wanna get everything else till there was just nothing left. And I paid all the bills about a month too late. It's a shame we have to play these games. The love we had just fade away, away. There goes the dreams we used to say. There goes the time we spent away. There goes the love I have cheated on me, and that's for that now. There goes the house we made a home. There goes you'll never leave me alone. For all the lies you told, this is what you own.
Hey,
was Blue Cantrell, baby. I love that song. Tristan say that. Yeah, I haven't heard this song. This came out maybe in 2002, 2003, and she had that. She had another R&B hit. This kind of crossed over to pop, but she had an R&B hit. This is Blue Cantrell from the So Blue album. You can find that on iTunes, so I won't get sued. Welcome back. It is the 5x5 Late Night Show. My name is David, and we were jamming. We were jamming to Blue Cantrell. Thought Bubbles, my friend Kristen Lane from Thought Bubbles, and also Tristan is in the chat room. You know, you can always join us live here on Spreaker and chat with us in the chat room. We have a lot of fun. Yeah, I was going to Wizard World. I was going to hitch a ride with y'all, but now I can't. I have to work, my person that I wanted to go see this coming weekend ended the first Indianapolis Wizard World was James Marster, who played Spike on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And so I'm like, I'll go to the next one, and that way I can plan and I'll just make a little vacation out of it. And it'll be warmer and better to travel. So I'm going to Indiana Comic Con. That's the one I'm going to. I think it's like the middle of March sometime. And hopefully that'll be a better one for everyone. Anyhow, we are back, and I was going to talk about how the Peanuts character Franklin became Franklin. I've seen this article on hubpages.com circumstance that the author of the article's name is Ronald E. Franklin. I'm sure he was an inspiration for the Peanuts character Franklin. But the article goes, it was April of 1968, and United States was in the grip of racial turmoil such as it had seldom seen before. On April 4th, Dr. Martin Luther King was shot as he stood on the balcony of a motel in Memphis, Tennessee. In response, riots broke out in more than 100 American cities. The outlook for racial harmony in the county country, I'm sorry, look bleak. You know, in my opinion, this is coming strictly from a black person's perspective. And a lot of people, I have friends, white friends, that they can't see my perspective, but I can't expect you to understand my perspective, but I expect you to respect that this is how I see it. And I think that's where the disconnect is when you're talking about racial inequality and how black people in 2014 still think we still have a long ways to go. And unfortunately, everybody doesn't see it that way. But respect my position enough, because I've lived it, to not have anything negative to say about it because you can't relate. But some important positive events were taking place that month as well. On April 11th, President Lyndon Johnson signed into the law the Civil Rights Act of 1968, which made housing discrimination based on race unlawful. And on April 15th, a white Los Angeles school teacher, the mother of three, sat down to write a letter to a cartoonist. The school teacher, Harriet Glickman, was disturbed by the racial upheaval that was shaking the country and wanted to do something about the vast sea of misunderstanding, fear, hate, and violence that caused it. She believed that at the time when whites and blacks looked distrustfully at one another from across a wide racial divide, anything that could help narrow the gap could provide an immensely positive service to the nation. So she wrote a letter to Charles Schulz, author of the Peanuts comic strip, syndicated in hundreds of newspapers around the country. Peanuts was the most popular and influential newspaper comic strip in history, read by millions of people every day. The outlook of many of those millions was inevitably influenced by their daily vicarious excursions into the world of Charlie Brown, Snoopy, Lucy, Linus, Peppermint Patty, our resident lesbian, and the rest of the Peanuts gang. But since the inception of the strip in 1950, the world had been exclusively white. Harry Glickman, she decided that needed to change. She was convinced that with the cultural clout enjoyed by the Peanut strip, it was portrayed white and black kids interacting amicably together that would set a positive tone that could help reshape the perceptions of whites and blacks to one another in the real world. In a letter that is now displayed in an exhibit at the Charles Schulz Museum, she said, "It occurred to me that the introduction of Negro children to a group of Schulz characters could happen with a minimum of impact. The gentleness of the kids, even Lucy, is a perfect setting. I'm sure what doesn't make radical changes in so important an institution without a lot of shockwaves from syndicates, clients, etc. You have, however, a stature and reputation which can withstand a great deal." And so that's the letter that kind of kicked off how Franklin was kind of given birth to. But at first, Charles Schulz didn't want it to happen. The article says Charles Schulz responds sympathetically but negatively to the idea of adding a black character to the Peanuts. You know, and then you have to look at the time. You know, it's in 1968. You know, it was crazy. I hear stories from my mother, you know, where she was when Martin Luther King was shot. And those years from like 1964 on up to the early 70s was kind of a tumultuous time to be black, you know, to be a fan of black people, to want racial equality. I was a product of the 70s busing when, especially in the Midwest and Southern Indiana in the 70s, I remember going to school, being one of only 20 black kids going to school. I went to a school on the far north side, and you know, there was a school, and what they did at the time, they would pick and choose which households could go to this all white school, you know, because normally schools, you go with schools in your neighborhood, but to give blacks better education from the inner city and the poorer schools, they bused you out to different locations throughout the city. So my sister and I were the only two kids in our neighborhood, which was a big neighborhood, that didn't go to the local school. They chose us because both my mother and my father worked, and we fit that profile to where there's still a family. It's a family, mother and father, married, and two children. We had the quintessential white picket fence, you know, on paper. it wasn't that much, but I remember, and looking back now, you know, but I remember that I hear my parents, you know, this is why we were chosen. I remember phone calls, you know, being young, you know, I didn't know. You know, hell, I didn't know I was black till I was in fifth grade, you know, because all my friends, you know, yes, I had my neighborhood friends, but then I went to school and interacted with the white kids every day, you know, and so it wasn't a deal for me. Now, my sister's a little bit different. She didn't like it. You know, my sister was a thug. She's still a thug. But she just, you know, she had a different attitude to me. But it helped me from an educational standpoint and from an ambition standpoint. And then when I finally went to the more ethnically diverse school, you know, I was like 2 years ahead of everybody. So it did help. And it just kind of proved the fact that it was busing was needed and better teachers were needed in the inner city schools, but so you wouldn't get left behind, so you wouldn't be one, you know, somebody pigeonholed and not positioned to advance, you know, academically. And so it helped me, and I look back and I'm thankful for it, but it's one of those things that it shouldn't have been necessary, but it was, unfortunately. Here I am talking to you guys. But Charles Schulz responded, he says, "Dear Ms. Glickman, thank you very much for your kind letter. I appreciate your suggestion about introducing a Negro child into the comic strip, but I'm faced with the same problem that other cartoonists are who wish to comply with your suggestion. We would all like very much to be able to do this, but each of us is afraid, you know, again, sign of the time, that it would look like we were patronizing our Negro friends. I don't know what the solution is." Far from being discouraged by Schulz's negative reply, Ms. Glickman saw it in a ray of hope. She wrote again to Schulz, asking for permission to show his letter to some of her African-American friends and get the reaction. I lost my... reaction. Their response may prove useful to you in thinking on this subject, she wrote to Schulz. Schulz replies, "I will be very anxious to hear what your friends think of my reasons for not including a Negro child in the comic strip. The more I think of the problem, the more I'm convinced that it'll be wrong again for me to do so. I would be very happy to try, but I am sure that I will receive the sort of criticism that would make it appear as if I were doing this in a condescending manner." I wonder what he had in his mind. Glickman must have been elated at Schulz's willingness to at least consider including the black character in a strip. She also contacted another nationally syndicated cartoonist, Alan Saunders, who wrote the Mary Worth strip. Saunders believed that it is still impossible to put a Negro in a role of high professional importance and have the reader accept it as valid. And the militant Negro will not accept any member of his race now in any of more humble roles in which we now regularly show whites. He too would be hostile and try to eliminate our product. Against that background, Schulz's openness to at least thinking about inserting a black character in his strip must have been refreshing. So this went on for a time, and Ms. Hickman kept on pressing the issue. All of a sudden, true to his word, Schulz thought about what the letter writers had to say, and reassured, on July 1st, he wrote to Glickman to inform her that he had taken the first step and that the strips published during the week of July 29th would have something, he said, in quotes, "I think will please you." That week, the comic strip featured a storyline in which Charlie Brown's sister, Sally, had thrown this beach ball into the sea. Then something that was, for the time, radical and groundbreaking occurred. His name was Franklin, and he came into the strip without fanfare and without any notice or comment concerning his race. He and Charlie Brown struck up a friendship just like any two kids who met on the beach might do. It turns out that Franklin lives in a different neighborhood. You know, they said Franklin did a project, right? They were on the other side of town, right? Interestingly, he goes to the same school as Peppermint Patty. So this is where all the blacks and lesbians go, and plays center field on the baseball team, not the basketball team. So he and Charlie Brown find that they have a lot in common. They have such a good time together. I didn't know Peppermint Patty and Charlie Brown would go to the same school. They have such a good time together on the beach that Charlie Brown invites Franklin to come and stay overnight at his house. We'll play baseball and build another sandcastle, Charlie tells him. So that's really interesting how that comes out, because I was that kid, so to speak. I was a black kid in a very white kid world in school, and I didn't know any difference. That just goes to show is that racism is taught, is learned, you know, by the people who are supposed to be instilling values of loving each other and loving your brother and of unity. But, you know, sometimes those messages are not given, and they're not received in the way they should be. But kudos to Charles Schulz, even though he didn't want to do it. But there's a little, not a quiz, there's a poll at the end of this article, and you guys should read the whole article for yourself. Like I said, it's on hugpages.com, and then if you check out the Facebook page, I will add a link to it. And the little poll says, before reading this, had you ever noticed Franklin in the peanut strip? Have you guys? Once they got doing the Red Baron stuff with Charlie Brown, they totally lost me. But I did like the Dolly Madison donut commercials, right? But it says yes, and I was glad to see an African-American among the Peanuts kids. Yes, but I didn't particularly notice he was black. No, though I read Peanuts, I never saw Franklin. No, I've never read Peanuts. I would have to say yes, but I didn't particularly notice he was black, because it's not like he was a prominent character, because he wasn't. And the results are 61% says yes, and they were glad to see an African-American among the Peanuts kids. And that was 60%. So that was interesting. So we're going to take another quick little break, like we always do, and we'll play something cute. And when we come back, we will talk about interracial dating and the Grammys. Thank you guys for listening. It is the 5x5 Late Night Show. We'll be right back.
Cause I made you feel so good. You must regret. Cause I made you find your hurt. You must regret. Cause I was cool with being your trophy. You must regret. Cause now you look so dumb to the homies.
I had a black car that got you a black car that made you a trap star.
Then you got too big for me.
You was cool, but not that cool.
So don't you forget, I'm the one who upgraded you. Too big for me.
Now that you fight, yeah. Don't try, just retire, yeah. You won't get no high.
I love that song, and I bet you guys don't know that's Latoya Luckett from the album Lady Love. Latoya Luckett was one of the original members before they kicked her ass out of Destiny's Child, but she actually had minimal success, R&B success. Torn was her huge song. Y'all probably don't know that song, but they played it a lot in Atlanta. But that was a good song. That was a remix with Missy Elliott, you know, that stole the Super Bowl show from Katy Perry the other day. Remember her? That was Regret, which is a song that I like. You know, you always have that one person that you think you're going to be able to date and have the life with, and then they screw it up. And then instead of you getting mad, you're like, you wasn't shit anyhow. And so that's what that song was about. You know, I brought you up. So I just, you know, had to deal with that, but recently, but no, that's what the song's about. Like, you wasn't shit, so it's gonna be on you, you know, not me, and you'll regret that. It's like the song in the theme of the Joni Mitchell song, "Big." It's a big yellow taxi. You don't know what you got till it's gone. That's the urban version of that song. Welcome back. This is 5x5 Latin Show. My name is David. And I'm getting tired. I'm going to bed, so I'm going to wrap some of this stuff up getting fast here. But Sunday was the Grammys. I did get to watch a little bit of it, and before I got called into work at 11 o'clock. I wasn't happy about that. So, you know, but it wasn't no surprises really about the winner, Sam Smith, who I didn't know before. I heard the song. And it's a good song. And then he had the remix, the Dark Child remix with Mary J. Blige, who I absolutely love. It was a Stay With Me song. What's it called? Stay With Me. Stay With Me. They kind of expected that song to win. And what was a lot of us gays, what we liked about that is when he said, and I liked his acceptance speech for Record of the Year when he was up there, he was like, he wrote this song because somebody who left him and caused him a great deal of heartbreak, and he thanked him because it got him 4 Grammys. You know, how would you like to be that guy? You know, would you say, hey, I was the one that broke up with him and he made them songs about me? Would you be that person? I don't think I would, because I'd be salty. Because then that's when, because I could be a vindictive bitch. I was, you know, leak some pictures out because I know that somebody has some, right? And, anyhow, so Album of the Year went to Beck. People are like, well, who is Beck? Not that I ever listened to Beck, but I think Beck came out in the early 90s, had some really good stuff, and always been a very solid artist. Won Album of the Year for Morning Face, which he wrote all himself and produced all himself and did it in his house. So I guess the Grammy committee took that into consideration instead of giving Beyonce, which the Beehive, and no offense because I'm a Bee stan myself, I didn't expect her to win with the content of her album, although there were some good interesting tracks on her album and I absolutely love it. I'm still playing it, you know, a year and a half later. Can you really be mad? You know, I can't be mad about that album, but about Beck winning. But what I thought was really interesting was they gave her a surround sound album. What the hell is that? And so I did some research, and it's about how it's recorded and how many, I guess, when they have the 7.1, you know, all that surround, how it's recorded and how it's layered when they're actually laying the tracks down. I'm like, I think that's just a stupid award. Surround sound album? Seriously? Y'all won't give them out album of the year, but y'all gonna give her the surround sound album. I thought that was kind of whack. But she did go on to win R&B performance for, Dangerously in Love. R&B performance with her husband Jay-Z for Drunk in Love, which is, again, one of my favorite songs from Beyonce. I was but there's other songs of the album that was really, really good. But I thought it was a complete album from to back. It's one of those albums that you could listen from the beginning to the end. But and talk about, I love Beyonce. Y'all know I'm a Beyonce stan, Beehive fan, whatever. I don't know why she chose to sing Precious Lord at the end. You know, she was the very end of the show, and everybody was waiting for her to break out with a booty shaking song. It didn't happen. And so she sung Precious Lord, and it just didn't have that church background to it, you know. And a lot of the imagery from a lot of the black artists on Sunday night was the holding your hands up that they was doing for the guy in New York, I Have No Weapon type of deal, Black Lives Matter. And she did that in her performance. I think John Legend and Common did it in their performance. And there was another artist that did it. And of course, Prince came out and said it. But wasn't Prince looking like a orange piece of Laffy Taffy? Oh, no pun intended, Thought Bubbles. They do all the Laffy Taffy jokes. Do they have orange Laffy Taffys? I need to know. But yeah, so he came out looking like Laffy Taffy. But when he announced the album of the year, he did give a side eye. Then you had Kanye approaching the stage again, reminiscent of what he did to Taylor Swift. In respect to Beyonce doing the VMAs. But he did, it was a joke. He was poking fun at himself. But then the next day he said that Beck needs to give his award to Beyonce because she should have won. It was a great album. It shut the internet down. But it is what it is. Move on, people. other ones that... Oh, and then Toni Braxton wins another album from R&B Album of the Year with Kenneth Babyface Edmonds for their collaboration album, which was all really, really good. And then I want to say this, and people who love Madonna, I'm not going to say I'm a fan, and I'm not going to say that I'm not a fan. I'm somewhere in the middle. There comes a point in time when you need to sit your old ass down. I'm sorry, I had to say it. She's good. The song was mediocre at best. I didn't. And then she's dangling from the ceiling and throwing her coochie out. Like, girl, we've seen that before. We don't need to see that no more. And then the Rihanna, Kanye, Paul Kartney performance was very, very bizarre. And Riri is not a singer, and I don't know, they're trying to make her a singer, and she's not. Girl, sing some hooks. But what else? There wasn't too many highlights. It was pretty boring because between watching the Grammys, I had to miss an hour because The Walking Dead came on. Now, if you missed The Walking Dead Sunday, you missed a big spoiler. Tyrese got killed. Oh, he didn't get killed. He died. That wasn't good. Didn't expect seeing that, but I do. I don't know what I did with this pop figure. I have so many of these pop figures now that I don't know what I did with it. So, so it's in here somewhere. If you guys could see the pop figures that I have, you wouldn't believe it. Not hot. But what else from the Grammys the night that I think was important? Lady Gaga won with her collaboration album with is it Tony Bennett that she won with? Is that the guy? Oh, Missy who? Not that I know of, but I only eat bananas. Oh, I let you eat all the flavors. So you're just a banana Laffy Taffy kind of girl. Okay. I feel ya. but no, kudos to Sam Smith. I was happy that Taylor Swift got locked out from winning any of the Grammys. Happy. We knew all knew Happy was going to win. But the big winner was Sam Smith. Record of the year, song of the year. What else was there? Best rock album went to Beck, of course. R&B performance was Jay-Z and Beyonce for Drunken Love. How's Ziggy Marley and them still winning awards? Seriously, ain't there any more reggae people coming up in the ranks? Where Petra at? You know, pull up to my bumper, baby. Remember that song back in the day? best rap song, Kendrick Lamar. I think even Joan Rivers won an award. Yeah, best spoken word album. And I think they'll give Weird Al Yankovic the best comedy award every year he has an album. He has to have 100 now. Because he's about 100 years old, right? He has to have 100 of those now. Let's see. I could care less about the country. Sorry for my country fans. I'm not interested. You know, Eminem, they're always going to give Eminem the best rap album. Doesn't matter anytime. And this is what I'll say, and black people and black artists have felt this way about the Grammys for a very long time. Sam Smith's song was a very R&B feeling song, and it was mentioned if a black person has sung that song, would they have garnered as much attention or the accolades that Sam Smith got? But then again, he's gay, so I don't know. I just throw that out there. Best Urban Contemporary Album went to Girl by Pharrell Williams, the guy who sung Happy. Carrie Underwood always wins one every year. And I think that's the best music video went to Happy as well. And then best new artist again was Sam Smith. So that was the Grammys. That was my take on them. Whether you guys like it or not, that, you know, it was okay. You know, Grammys are not as exciting as the American Music Awards or the VMAs. So you don't get all the excitement and the performances and kind of the people's choice type of vibe that you get at the Grammys. A little different. We'll be right back.
Radio, radio, radio killer. I bust the windows out your car, and though it didn't mend my broken heart, I'll probably always have these ugly scars. But right now I don't care about that part. I bust the windows out your car after I saw you laying next to her. I didn't wanna, but I took my turn. I'm glad I did it, 'cause you had to learn. I must admit it helped a little. Feelings, tell them you
Radio galore. Radio galore. Now, girl, you know you broke my heart. Hey, not because you don't know what you've done to my car. Now it's in the shop for the next 2 weeks. By then you won't even remember why you're mad at me.
I didn't break your heart.
Shawty, I didn't break your heart.
This time, baby, you went too far.
You went too far.
If you would've pulled back the sheets, you would've noticed that it wasn't me. Go ahead, apologize. And Kemp and them,
and they just mad cause I ain't sleeping with them.
So shawty, get up in this building. Hey, are you crying or are those tears from the wind? Cause you was acting foolish.
Did you lose your mind?
Yeah, you bust the window out, but you cold cause you bust the one out on your side.
Your side, your side.
Now you're looking silly
in the car.
You don't trust me.
You're looking silly in the car.
And you didn't love me like I loved you. Oh, oh. But it's alright, it's okay.
You're looking silly in the car.
Cause I was leaving anyway.
Oh, shout it, bust my window out. Shout it, bust my window out.
It's time for
It's Fanboy Lucas, are you geeks, nerds, and blurs? Let's get our geek on.
And you know, I've added Fanboy Weekly to the weekly show, so I'm not podcasting every day of the week like I was before, and I was doing way too damn much. But welcome back. It is a little bit Fanboy Weekly here on the 5x5 Late Night Podcast. And what are we talking about? The Walking Dead made its triumphant 15.6 million viewer return Sunday night while the Grammys were going on. And we lost one of our most beloved characters that's been in since probably the prison, since season three, possibly, maybe two. Tyrese met his demise. And why is Everybody Hates Chris getting everybody killed? You know, if Everybody Hates Chris, I think his name is Noah on the show, if he's running somewhere, let his ass run, because 9 times out of 10, you the one gonna die. You know, so I don't know if Chris is gonna be here for the remainder of this season and then on to subsequent seasons, but that is yet to remains to be unseen. But you know, Tyrese gets bit by the little twin brothers, and then Michonne does, and I still am in love with Michonne. If I wanted a girlfriend, it would be her. Or T-Boss from TLC. But anyhow, no, she is just so badass with that katana. Does something to me, baby. But yeah, he gets bit, and then they had all these scenes from the little crazy girls, with the little crazy girl that killed her sister, and then they blew her brains out, and then the governor, and then the guy that was from Terminus, and there was the other black guy that they killed. They kill another black foot. Michonne's the next one to go, or Sasha. She'll be the next one to go. Then Michonne will go. Then they'll kill Morgan's black ass. So 100 more black people, even though they was in Atlanta and there's no black zombies or black survivors, because we got our black asses and we went to Mexico. that was funny. Yeah, I know y'all laughed at that, but yeah. So they say the rest of the season is going to be absolutely insane. absolutely insane. Yeah, they're talking about the Grammy still. It was Kanye. It was a joke, though. He wasn't doing it he wasn't going to really do it, although he did talk crazy the next day. But back to The Walking Dead. So to the rest, the remainder of the season is going to be absolutely insane. It just looks like a lot's going on. And where was and why does Baby June look 12? I mean, that baby grew fast. I guess babies kind of grow fast, but that baby grew fast too. Y'all had to admit, baby June looks like she's a preteen. and then Carl, you know, I wanted him to die many seasons ago. And so I don't know if they're going to stay. I know I was talking to Chris from Thought Bubbles. Elaine's in the chat room. I don't know if I know he said that was in the comic book. About where they are right now. So I don't know if they're staying there or what's going to happen. But I think they're all reaching their point of, this isn't working anymore. What are we doing? You know, and sometimes obviously survival is a bitch, you know. But on to other news. Did you guys see you know, I'm a big Funko Pop collector. Did you guys see the new ones that are coming for 2015? We have 16 Candles, The Breakfast Club, The Matrix, Boondock Saints. What else? The Fifth Element. Those are the ones I want. Every last one of them. I want the Diva one. You know, the girl was going, ooh, 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 ooh. That girl that did all that in the movie. Because The Fifth Element is still my number one sci-fi movie of all time. There hasn't been one movie to beat that. Of course, you know, I was in love with, what's his name, Bruce Willis. And he was cute in this movie. But, of course, Chris Tucker is hilarious. And I want that pop, too. Hopefully, they're exclusives. But just don't give them to Walgreens. Have y'all dealt? I know I've been talking to Christine Lane and Jerry and some other people. Devin from my Life with Funko group on Facebook. Have you guys dealt with Walgreens on any level? I mean, if they can't get something that is exclusive to their stores, you know, how can we trust them to give medicine? I'm like, seriously, no shade, no tea. I've been trying to get these toys, and I found out today. And when you talk to the management, and of course, I'm a man of a particular age, they act like that you're like crazy or something because you want these toys. It's a collectible. It's not really a toy. It's not like I'm taking them out and playing with them, although I did buy six this week. it's not like I'm playing with them. It's like I like to have them. They're cute. And when I get a nice little display cabinet, I'll put them up and I'll display them. But if you guys didn't know, Funko released a Spider-Man in the black suit, a Venom, a Punisher, and a Spider-Man 2099 exclusively to Walgreens. I know I talked about this a little bit last week. And so they were supposed to roll out on January the 28th and is supposed to be in all the stores by the 6th of February. Well, the 6th of February comes around and none of these stores know what you're talking about when you go in. The manager told me today that all the stores in my area all receive two of these special exclusives. I mean, Hot Topic has a ton of exclusives, and you might not get there the first day. Unless it's a really, really special one, like the metallic ones, the Chase figures. But if it's just an exclusive, like there was exclusive. I went to Hot Topic today, and there was exclusives still, like the Harlequin exclusive, the Batman Earth 2 exclusive, that I think I already have one. So I might have two now, but since I have so many, I've forgotten which ones I have. So I think I have two now, but I bought it anyhow because you get that buy one half, get one half off. Hey, Tristan. Tristan's back, and he says, back to Walking Dead. Thought Bubble says, the priest or Noah is next. My theory is every time they bring a new black guy, they kill another one. I think you're right, Elaine. That's pretty much, even though they're in Atlanta, can't have too many Negroes run around in the zombie apocalypse. Don't ask me why. but with Walgreens and these exclusives, if they only got 2, and then Hot Topic, when they get exclusive, they have tons. Even Barnes & Noble, when they have, they still have the exclusives of the Transformers at my local Barnes & Noble. But how do you have exclusive of some of the biggest names in the Marvel Universe, and you send 2 to a store? So the general consensus around here, either they're lying, or the store employees are buying them before they even hit the floor on their own eBay for $100 now. So it's just been kind of a little disconcerting, something that we all wanted and we all been seeking out, and we're not being able to purchase because Walgreens obviously cannot handle it. And that's no shade, no tea. It just happens to be the truth. And lastly, in our fanboy spotlight, Spider-Man, well, Sony and Marvel Disney come to a deal to bring Spider-Man to the MCU. They knew they had to have him for Civil War because he was a very integral figure in that mythology. So now, but Sony has complete control creatively, but he's now going to be, because they've been trying to do it for a while, but officially he's now going to be in the Marvel Universe, Cinematic Universe, so we'll be seeing him. They might throw him in one of these movies, but guess what? It's not going to be the kid who plays him now. What's the guy's name that plays, help me out, guys, that plays Spider-Man now? It's not going to be him. They're going to use somebody else. And they were thinking, since the Marvel Cinematic Universe kind of leans heavy toward the Ultimates part of the comic books, that he may be Miles Morales. Which that I think it has to be Peter Parker, but there's a possibility it's Miles Morales. And then everything with the whole Spider-Verse now that's going on, where Spider-Woman number 4 comes out tomorrow, if you guys need it. Not many things come out comic book wise tomorrow. Next week, I promise I will have some. I just don't have time to grab everything. The free digital downloads that I normally give out on Fanboy Weekly. And we're about 2 months away from Free Comic Book Day. If you go to freecomicbookday.com, you can see all the really good books that they're offering this year. And that's it for Fanboy Weekly. We'll be right back.
Girl, you're blowing my mind with the things you say to me.
Y'all know y'all don't know anything about no L DeBarge, baby. That's L DeBarge with DeBarge, the group. With I Like It. That, I mean, that song brings about so many memories. I was in eighth grade when this album came out with Time Will Reveal, all those good songs, and I Like It. I found that tonight. And I'm like, ah. Oh, that's a perfect Valentine's Day song, you know, even though I don't have a Valentine because obviously I'm too honorary. I'm too honorary because I speak my mind, but that's okay because I'm going to be me. Welcome back. It's the 5x5 late night show / Fanboy Weekly / Gossip and soon to be Glitter and the Geek coming to us the beginning of March. Welcome back. But no, that was Elder Bars. Remember back in the day when they came out and you were like, who's that girl with the mustache that can sing real, real high? It was Elder Barge. And everybody thought he was gay because he sung, you know, they were told to be the next Jackson 5, even though they had Bunny, who really never sung back up, but she was just there because she was a sister. But they just had so much drama. And then I didn't know L, they all had substance abuse problems. And L, he has like 23 children. I mean, a ton of children. And he had some success. He could have been a big success, you know, but they just couldn't get away from that, the drugs and the alcohol. And then, of course, you know, James DeBarge, another member of the family that was married to Janet Jackson. Again, substance abuse. I think he was one of them did some jail time, and then the other brothers as well. And they never ever came back. You know, L made one little. He was doing tours last year, but was canceling dates. Or not last year, a couple years ago. But people still want to see him. You know, but I don't know what time and drug abuse has done to his voice, but I'm still a fan of DeBarge because that's the music I grew up to. That's the music that I love, and everybody likes I Like from DeBarge, baby. I'm not an attention whore. That's why I'm going down to one, and it's going to be a collaborative show. This show will go away, everybody, because I've been calling it the late night show, but it's just the 5x5. But now it's going to be the 5x5 presents Glitter and the Geek, because I'm a geek and I have a little glitter, and it'd be gossip, hot topics, fanboy stuff. So it'll all be together in one concise show. So I can get everything I want to talk about on one show without having to do several different shows. Thinking about something else to do for my iHeartRadio show that I haven't done in a very long time. Still going to do interviews there until I do have an interview coming up soon. I'll tell you guys about that later. But we don't have time to talk about interracial dating. We'll talk about that on Tuesday. But before we go, we're going to take the how dateable are you actually? I think I'm pretty dateable, but maybe I'm not. Maybe this will tell me why I'm single, because the article pretty much, and you guys can check it out if you have the opportunity. We'll talk about it next week, because I think I need more than like 15 minutes to talk about interracial dating. It's on instinctmagazine.com, and it talks about how you, and like what I said before we went to break, how we have these perfect people in front of us, you know, that if we treated our dating life like the dating game, or what's the game where they used to have the three bachelors on behind the screen and then the one asking questions, and then without seeing them, you blindly chose the ones whose qualities and the answers that you liked the most. But now with how social media and information is at our fingertips, and just having things immediately to our attention, even visually, sometimes when we get that picture flash on the screen and it's somebody that doesn't look like us, even though they fit every bill, you know, some people say, well, maybe they're just not attracted to black people, or maybe he's not just attracted to white folks, or, you know, I think we had to look deeper, you know, if we're going to make it on this planet. I think we had to look deeper than the color of our skin. And but hey, that's how I see it. A lot of people see it different ways. Because a lot of people use the analogy, well, it's just like eating chocolate ice cream versus vanilla ice cream. You just like the taste of one better. You know, that's so, but it makes us a little more vain, you know, so some people just, I just don't like it. I don't like the way it looks. It's a little bit too dark, a little bit too pale, you know, and you just ain't gonna like it. But I think at the end of the day, it comes to somebody for me. If they're good people, if they're funny, if they can laugh at themselves, that they don't start a lot of drama, and I don't have a lot of drama because I have enough of my own, and be able to tell me to shut the hell up. As I've always told my friends, the person that's not scared to tell me, because I have a huge personality, the person who's not afraid to tell me to shut the hell up will be the one that I'll probably date, because I can respect that. And so anyhow, we'll talk more about that next week here on the 5x5 podcast next Tuesday night at 10:30. But how dateable are you actually? First question, this is a BuzzFeed quiz. When you have to make a meal, what do you do? Eat questionable pizza, make reservations, you can never decide, bust out the cookbook, make what looks good at the farmer's market, you find a dinner date. I always have a problem deciding what I want to eat. What are your career goals? Figure out what you want to do with your life. Consulting, something that lets you have a life, whatever makes you happy, be popular, CEO or die. Right now, currently, something that lets me actually have a life, and the job I have right now is not letting me have a life. So that's my career aspirations. What's your biggest flaw? I'm too predictable. I'm indecisive. I'm a big flirt. I'm too self-conscious. Where do I start? And I'm too intense. Believe it or not, I'm very indecisive. I second guess myself a lot. You're lost. What do you do? I'll ask someone hot for directions. I always get lost. I'll drive around in circles. I'll turn into an adventure. I never get lost. I have an app for this. Baby, I got an app for that. Because, of course, my job, I drive a lot, so I'm always using my phone to find places. When do you want to get married? I'll be really shady when it's legal in my state. I think it's legal though in my state now. When you want to get married? 25 or 35 or 50. When I meet the right person, first or second marriage. Next time I'm in Vegas, 37, I'm in no rush. When I meet the right person, that seems like the most PC answer. How do you spend your Friday nights? Hanging out with friends, vodka, Tristan, hanging with colleagues, something low key, meeting a Tinder match or a Grindr match. I'm still deciding. If I would do anything, it would be low-key. And describe your hygiene. Occasional, you have a good routine, you clean up well, you have a signature scent, fine, you're pristine. I clean up well. Pick a spirit Muppet. Animal, Fozzie the Bear, Gonzo, Kermit, Miss Piggy, or Rolf. I guess that's the dog. Let's go with Rolf. Describe your phone etiquette. Your texts have perfect grammar. You listen to your voicemails. You respond promptly to texts. LOL, sorry, just got your text. You don't mind nudes. You lost your phone. I normally respond promptly to text. You're probably taken. This quiz is bogus. It is so bogus. Did you guys take the quiz? When I start to smell, date a rich guy. I like Tristan's answer. The last time I went on a date, I got served with a straightening order. I like the size of one better. Oh, Tristan, your answers are hilarious. but this says, let's see. It says everyone always gets really bummed when they figure out you're with someone, and for good reason. You're all about that domestic life, aren't you? And if by some miracle you aren't partnered up, it's totally a matter of time. You are totally relationship ready. I think I'm relationship ready. You know, so maybe I'll find a date before Valentine's Day. Does somebody want to be my Valentine this year? We have what? Today's going to be Wednesday. Officially Wednesday, almost Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You have 4 days. So if you want to be my Valentine, you still... I knew the vodka one. if you still have time, if you want to be on Valentine's Day, my Valentine or Valentine's Day, give me a call. If you know someone, send them my way. Not really. I'm good. I'm probably working anyhow. But anyhow, good night, everybody. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Catch me on Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. I think 9 p.m. for me on the weekly rewind. I say it wrong every week, with Tristan, Chris, and Gary, as we go over the hottest stories from the week on the weekly rewind. It's the only news source you'll ever need, and it's really, really funny. And this time, I promise I'll be prompt, and my mic situation is fixed, I think. You know, you can always catch all of our shows on facebook.com/ the 5x5, completely spelled out, and they're in there somewhere. Don't forget, while you're over there, to like the page and follow us here on Spreaker. And you also can send me a tweet at the 5x5 on Twitter, and check out all my geeky musings and pictures on Instagram, One Funny Guy. You guys have a great night. Thank you guys for joining me. Tristan, Thought Bubbles, Fat Girl Radio. Who else was in the chat room with us tonight? I think Matthew Raven Randall is listening to us. Somebody else was in the chat room tonight that I didn't. What'd you get as a result? I get the same result. You lied through the whole quiz. I'm not lying. I was telling the truth on that quiz. You see, guess how I'm treated? Fat Girl Radio. Who else is in the chat room? Thought Bubbles and Jaded Tristan. Jaded Production. I wasn't lying through the quiz. It was all true. I promise you guys, it was all true. See, this is why I'm single, because people don't understand me. I'm so misunderstood. You guys have a great rest of the week, and I will see you next time. Good night.